Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
The government is hoping that 4,000 vacant and derelict houses will be brought back into use under its Vacant Property Refurbishment Fund, also known as the Croí Cónaithe Scheme, by 2025. However, just over 450 payments have been made under the scheme since it was launched in 2022. That's a fraction of the 5,300 applications that were approved. So, is it all working as well as it should? Well, if you're considering applying for the scheme or you're currently renovating a house using the fund, stay tuned now, because we're going to delve into it with Shay Lally, who's a quantity surveyor and owner of the Houses to Restore Instagram page, and also Sean O'Tooma, who's currently working on an old farmhouse in Limerick. And you're both welcome. So Shay, will you give us an overview, first of all, of how this scheme works for people who might be thinking of going down this road?
Yeah, it's a scheme that's aimed at people who are looking at, say, buying a house that has been vacant for 2 years or more. So they assess the vacancy based on like the ESB reading, for example, or sometimes the estate agent will give confirmation that no one has been living in the house for 2 years. So that's the biggest, I suppose, hurdle, that the house has to be vacant for 2 years. And there's two parts to it. One is you can qualify for up to €50,000 if the house is vacant. And then the other is you can qualify for up to €70,000 if the house is deemed to be derelict. So a derelict property is one that's on the derelict site list. Or on the other hand, you can get a structural engineer in to basically come in, and I wouldn't say condemn, but basically say like there's a massive structural issue or kind of say like the roof or something has caved in on the house, and that would indicate then that it's derelict. So if the house is derelict, you can qualify for up to 70,000. And then there's actually another little bonus if you live in an island or you're looking at buying a house in an island. Those numbers are then bumped up by 20%. So the 50,000 becomes 60,000, and then the 70,000 will become 84,000.
Okay, but you have to do the work and pay for it yourself first and then claim it back. Is that how it works?
Exactly, yeah. So you do all of the work and then you, exactly as you say there, yeah, 100%.
Okay. Well, let's find out about Sean's experience now. So Sean, you bought an old farmhouse on a few acres in Limerick, an uninhabitable house, and you decided to go for this vacant homes grant. So how has it been?
Yeah, so like initially I would say overall the idea of the grant is really good. I mean, I've gotten a lot of messages from people saying that the only reason that they've been able to get on the property ladder is because of the grant. So that's kind of exactly what you want to be seeing. But also for people like me who've always wanted to renovate a property, it makes it much more feasible. Knowing that there is the potential of getting 50,000 or 70,000 back on the work that you put in, because it's a huge amount of money. It takes years off a mortgage payment or whatever it might be. I have to say the Limerick County Council have been incredibly efficient at, I suppose, processing my application. But unfortunately, that's kind of where the positive aspects of the grant end. So I suppose the application phase itself is a bit of a nightmare, in terms of you have to get all of the quotes, all of the work down to the fine details of the tiles, etc., that you're going to use. Now, it's much more straightforward if you're using a builder to do the whole thing. But for me, I'm doing some of the work myself. We're having, obviously, have to get specialist support in certain areas to do some of the work as well, because we were granted the full 70,000, so there are some structural issues there. But trying to navigate the application process took me, I would say, 4 or 5 months. And then it took another, and then my application was actually processed within 3 weeks, which was really good. A lot of councils, unfortunately, in Dublin particularly, I think you're waiting months for the application to be processed and then to get the inspection.
Okay.
So I
wanted to ask you though, what happens if you get all of your information on how much this is going to cost and then things change, as they always do when you're renovating or building anything? How does that impact your application for the grant?
Yeah, so I was just dealing with this even this morning. So you can't start any works on the property until you've had your inspection and that you've received a letter of approval. So as we all know, there's not a building project in the country, and we've seen it on the shows, that doesn't change in some aspect during the build. And we're dealing with that at the moment, where you know, we've started doing some demolition. We've found some issues that need to be addressed by more specialised support by masons, etc. And then you send in new quotes to the council to get them approved. But you get kind of, not threatening letters, but they're threatening you that you may no longer have be eligible for the grant because of these changes, which doesn't make any sense. I mean, as long as these houses are being brought back onto into the housing stock, it shouldn't matter how it's done as long as it's all done above board.
Mm-hmm. But obviously, so they have their rules there, but you're saying that can be difficult to navigate. Does that fit, Shay, with what you're seeing in your work?
Yeah, so we actually renovated a house there for a couple in the Tenters in Dublin 8. We finished it in April. And in that house, we actually uncovered a few things that we didn't expect to uncover. Now, admittedly, the contract sum on that, like the value of the works that we did there was probably around €100,000. And then say the €50,000 was covering half of that. So some of the things that were, I suppose, that we put in for the things that definitely had to happen, like, say, the rewire, the new heating system. They put in for windows and doors, new floors, so all of those sorts of things. And then the things that we uncovered. So, for example, there was a lot of rise and damp in the property, like a lot more rise and damp than expected. And that probably, and there was actually a structural issue as well, now that I think of it. So it probably added an extra €10,000 into the project. But they just had to find the funds for that additional €10,000 because all of the things they'd applied for under the €50,000, like the rewire, the rewire, the heating system, the windows and all that sort of stuff that I mentioned, they had to happen anyway because what was there was completely unsuitable.
Mm-hmm.
So they just had to come up with the additional money, and they were fortunate in the sense that they obviously had that money available to them.
They still got their 50,000 back though.
Yeah, they did. But that's because when they come in and they say, okay, you've been approved for these 15 items or 10 items or whatever it is that you've put in for your application form. And when they come in and they do their check, they'll see, okay, those 10 things are done. You might have done additional things, but there was no case of, say, substituting one thing out for the other. So, for example, they didn't, like, say, well, look, we can't afford to put the floors down, the timber floors that we want to put down because we have to pay for the rising damp. They didn't do that. They still proceeded with the timber floor that they had put in for, say, in the application.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if they had done a substitution, I think a problem would have arisen there and they would have had to get on to whoever it was they were dealing with in the council to explain their situation. But they were fortunate that they didn't have to do
that. Okay, so do you see that there's an advantage then to people having to plan everything down to the last detail before they start their work in order to qualify for the grant? Is that a good thing?
Yeah, to be honest, doing a home renovation project, it's one of the most complex and one of the most stressful things you can do. Like, and even if you look at, say, I'm looking at a door here in the studio, like there's probably a half a dozen decisions to be made if you're putting a door into your house, like what door you want, what colour you want it, and all that sort of stuff. And a lot of people get very overwhelmed renovating a house. So if you actually sit down, you engage with, say, someone like myself, you engage with an architect, you know exactly what you want, that project's going to go an awful lot smoother. And the other thing is as well, is that it's most like there's better cost certainty, and it's also most likely to come in on time. So if you're saying, like, we're going to put 4 months against this project or 6 months against this project, if you kind of make the majority of the decisions at the start or the big ticket items, you're more likely to come in on budget and you're more likely also to, you know, complete the project on time.
Yeah, and Sean, coming back to you in Limerick, like I mentioned that you have to have the cash up front. That's a big barrier to a lot of people, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a huge issue, and I think it's one of the reasons why you're having issues with people, obviously, having so many applications going, but having such few payouts then of the actual grant. A lot of people are going to the credit unions who seem to be quite open to providing loans for this, but it does add a huge amount of additional stress when you're constantly kind of living in that fear of not getting paid out. And that's something that I'm hearing all the time from people, is that it's just been an additional stress that shouldn't be, as Shay was saying, building and renovating is stressful as it is, without this additional, I suppose, constant fear of not getting paid out the grant at the end of it, and with people potentially taking out high interest loans to kind of try and cover the works that need to be done in the property and then not to get paid out at the end for whatever reason it might be, it is this constant kind of fear.
Well, Sean, we let you go. Maybe get back to it, to the hard work that you're doing there on the farmhouse in Limerick. That's Sean O'Toole. And Shay, I want to focus now on questions that have been coming in for you. Michael has been in touch with us. He says he's been approved for the vacant property grant since last August, so August of 2023. With all the wet weather, the lack of tradesmen, my project got delayed by months. The site was too wet to clear and dig foundations until December. I'm currently at plastering stage, but worried that we won't be ready to move in for the 13-month deadline in September. September. Is there any way to extend that deadline? It would be a massive hit to get approved for 50,000 and then miss out on it by 4 or 8 weeks. So explain that deadline to us first, Shay.
Yeah, you basically get approval and you have to have all of the works then complete within 13 months. So my understanding on that is that the work itself needs to be done by the end of the 13th month, and then you let them know that the work is done and you apply then for the inspector to come and have a look essentially. But I suppose in his case, like, look, we live in Ireland, the weather isn't great, and if you start a project at the wrong time of the year, you are going to hit a lot of water. Like, can you try and dig ground in November, December time? Like, it's very, very tricky, you know. So my advice there really to him would be to try and build a case to prove, like, what he's saying is essentially true, that is what happened. And there's a list of vacant homes officers for each local authority, and I just suggest for him to get onto them and have that discussion and explain where he's at. And then also the guys he has working on site, I would be inclined to put pressure on them then to get the project to where it needs to be. The other thing I'll add is that, like, on his application there might be some things that he's applied for on the grant that need to be done to the that need to be complete within the 13 months, but he might have other things that the guys that are doing on site that he might be worried about not completing. So for example, I mentioned a floor there in that other house, and like, if Sean wanted to say lay a floor but he hadn't applied for that on the grant, it's only the grant work that really needs to be complete, is my understanding of within the 13 months, as opposed to things he's financing himself.
But that vacant property officer in the local authority, that's a key person to get in touch with if you think you're coming up against that deadline. You might be able to get some sort of leeway, you're saying.
Yeah, I definitely talked to them.
Like, okay. All right, this next one then. We've a listener wondering, in order to qualify for the grant, how much of the original house do you have to retain?
In the few projects I've been involved with now, they've mainly been remodels and refurbishments of what was there. But I'd imagine you'd have to retain some element of the house. I was looking at the form over the weekend just to kind of get my ducks in the row for this morning, and I didn't see anything about that, as in how much the original house you'd have to keep. But I'd imagine you couldn't just demolish the full house and then build another house.
That's
essentially
a new house, yeah.
Yeah, so I'd imagine you have to retain some element of it. What percentage, I genuinely don't know. And again, I'd suggest reaching out to the vacant homes officer in your area.
Okay, this next one then. This person applied for the grant because they inherited the family home, which has been vacant since they inherited it. They say, I kept the house in good condition, aired and painted, but to live there myself it needed total modernisation, which is why I applied for the grant. In no place on the forms or speaking to the council personnel did it specify that if the house looked habitable that I would not be considered for the grant. I'm appealing the decision, but the builder has started. How is this going to affect my appeal?
Well, as Sean was saying there, like, you can only start the work after you've been given approval, so there might be a hindrance there for that person, unfortunately.
So you cannot start the work
until
you have the approval.
Exactly.
And if you start the work without the approval, you're probably not going to get the grant, are you?
No.
Right. And that issue there that he raises about the house looking habitable, does that go against you when you're applying?
I suppose one of the houses that I've been involved in now was somewhat habitable, to be fair, but it had been vacant, and it had definitely been vacant. They did get approval for the €50,000. That was in Dublin. But I suppose, like, it comes back to the fact of, was the house definitely vacant? And if you look at the ESB reading and all that sort of stuff, like, was it definitely vacant? And maybe the council just feel that maybe it was occupied at certain times. I don't know.
Okay, well, the key problem for that person is that the work has started.
Exactly, yeah.
And the approval hasn't come through. Okay, this listener is wondering how long it normally takes to get the grant money paid. She's loaning her child money to carry out the works and is wondering when she can expect the payment from the council. How long after approval? Is it coming through quickly?
That's the challenge, it isn't, to be fair. Like, so that couple I mentioned in the tenters, I reached out to them over the weekend, and that, like, we completed that project in April, and they got in contact with what I mean to say Dublin City Council in April, and they're still waiting for someone to come out and inspect the property. So we're in July now, so that's 3 months.
That's really difficult for people who've paid out that money and maybe owe it to, you know, a parent or a bank or a credit union.
There's no guarantee, and it doesn't say anywhere on the website. They do highlight that when you initially apply, someone will come out within a couple of weeks, and I think they seem to be quite good for that, like what Sean was saying. But when it comes to the drawdown, it seems to be a very slow process.
Okay, and it probably varies around the country as well, I would imagine.
Yeah, yeah.
This person applied for a vacant home grant here in Dublin. It's been 12 months and I haven't heard back.
That's absurd. I think I could be mistaken now, but I think it's something like they say they'll be out to you within 4 to 6 weeks or something like that to inspect the place. So if I was that person, again, I'd be reaching out to the vacant homes officer and just saying, look, I applied whenever it was and here's proof of it and what's the story basically.
Okay, well Shay, we'll have to leave it there, but so many questions coming in, it might be something we'll come back to again. Thanks so much Shay Lally,
Quantity
Surveyor, and Sean O'Toole, who we heard from in Limerick there too. Now Roderick O'Gorman has been elected new leader of the Green Party. We'll be hearing more about that after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.